everybody. Thanks for joining us. This is Nora Rawlinson of Early Word. I'm here with Jean Zimmerman, author of The Orphan Master, a debut historical novel coming from Viking, an imprint of Penguin, on June 19th. We're here to kick off First Flights, the Penguin debut author program. This is a unique opportunity for librarians to be the first to get to know the authors of major new titles coming out this year. Join the program on Early Word for an opportunity to get an advanced reader's copy of The Orphan Master. And then on April 11th, join us again when you can ask Jean your own questions during a live chat. But right now, I have Jean all to myself. Welcome, Jean.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
I really enjoyed your book. It's set in 17th century Manhattan, and this was the period when Manhattan was New Amsterdam. It was part of the Dutch colony of New Netherland. When we walk around New York, we see Dutch names all the time. In fact, walking over here, I saw a truck with the Dyke Lumber Company, which definitely a Dutch name. But we often don't think about or know much about the history of this period. What got you interested in New Amsterdam during the 17th century?
I think you're right that we have sort of a dusty feeling about that period. And in fact, it was very robust and very exciting and something that people lived to the fullest, even though we're not really aware of it today. I started thinking about it when I wrote my last nonfiction book. This is my first fiction book, but before that I was a nonfiction writer. And I wrote a book about New Amsterdam and about a family that lived there and about a woman who was a she merchant in New Amsterdam, and her name was Margaret Hardenbrooke. I was so inspired by working on a book about her that I thought I wanted to go farther than I could with nonfiction and explore fiction.
And you have a character named Blondine Van Couvering, who must be based on this particular woman that you researched. And she just struck me. I loved her. She's remarkably independent. A single woman travels around alone with an Indian companion. She's a trader, or, and I love this term, she merchant, who had the, as you say, commercial gleam in her eye. And you really get the sense of how much she loves trading and how much she loves making money on her trades. So there really were women like this at that time.
There absolutely were. Blondine was based on my person that I profiled named Margaret, but she was really one of many, many traders in New Amsterdam at that time. As a matter of fact, out of about 1,500 people in New Amsterdam at the time, 178 of them were female traders. So I think that's an incredible number. And they weren't all trading in furs the way Blondine is. They were selling fish. They were selling fruit. They were trading linens from the homeland. But still, everybody was into trade. And everybody in the colony was into trade. But women especially really benefited by living in New Amsterdam and by being Dutch, because there was a larger measure of freedom and equality for Dutch women than there was for any women anywhere in the world at that time.
I never would have guessed there would have been that many of them. And she merchant, I love that name. Tell me about the person that the book is named for, the Orphan Master. What kind of place did he have in this society?
The Orphan Master is based on a real function in New Amsterdam at that time, and actually a function of the Netherlands in general. The Orphan Master is the person that is appointed in order to look after the interests of the orphans in the colony. And because there are so many orphans, I don't have the numbers on this, but because there are so many orphans due to parents killed by Indians in shipwrecks, just through illness, there were many, many, and they needed somebody to represent their interests, whether in court or elsewhere. There was no orphanage. They were lodged with families and put to work as laborers, basically. But nonetheless, they needed care. And Visser, who is the Orphan Master that I write about, is a very complex person. He is a good man. He wants to take care of the kids that he talks about as his chicks or his ducklings. But at the same time, he's been involved in a very sketchy affair that has left him feeling extremely guilty, especially by the end of the book.
You spoke about Indians and parents being killed by the Indians. So there was another aspect of the book I was fascinated with. I for some reason, don't know that much about East Coast Indians and haven't read many novels where they're featured. Is this something we don't hear about that often?
Well, I have thought before that people are not all that interested in East Coast Indians, and perhaps because it's a chapter in our history that we would rather leave behind. However, there were large numbers of Indians living in New Amsterdam, in New Netherland, the Lenape in particular, and some other smaller groups as well, and they occupied areas of the island and of New Netherland beyond. In quantity, as I said, and they shared the streets and they shared the shops with the Dutch and with the people of other nationalities that lived here. So they were quite integrated into the life of the colony.
You have, there are details in the book that I just really enjoy. And it makes me think that that's what must be fun about doing fiction as opposed to nonfiction. For instance, a character is presented with a foot-long oyster
eat. I didn't make that up. That comes from the diary of a colonist at the time.
Really?
So there really were huge oysters, I mean, all over around the base of Manhattan. It's really incredible to think about now. But for a long time, you know, even into the 20th century, there were huge middens of shells, big piles of shells from oyster feasts that the Indians had and thrown their oyster shells. So we don't have them anymore. We don't see them anymore. But in fact, things were larger than life.
Yeah, that's a good point. And how did it feel writing? You said you wanted to do fiction after having done historical books before, nonfiction. What was it that attracted you to fiction?
Well, first of all, I love writing nonfiction because I feel that you can be a bit of a snoop. You can look into people's affairs. You can read their diaries and their journals. And it's just a wonderful occupation. On the other hand, you are bound, I think, to the facts as they are. And if you're a responsible historian, you can't go beyond that. But if you want to imagine something, in the case of particularly, I think, women have been shortchanged by historians, and partly it's because we don't have so many diaries, we don't have so many letters for women. It's a real stricture. It's really frustrating to write about women of earlier times, because what kind of story can we tell? I think the best way to do this sometimes is to write fiction.
And that's a really good point. That's one of the many aspects of the book that I really enjoyed was examining the women's lives, which, again, you're right, you don't get that so much in history. Well, thank you so much, Jean. I look forward to talking to you more on April 11th. And librarians, remember to sign up for First Flights, Penguin's debut author program, for the advanced readers edition of The Orphan Master, and be sure to come back to join us for a live chat with Jean Zimmerman on April 11th.